This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. Now, just a mention of hemp alone is enough to induce the giggles, especially since most people associate the word with a psychoactive drug. But industrial hemp is starting to be recognized as a cash crop that could potentially galvanize economies. In the studio with me today is Muhammad Johan, president and founder of the Malaysia Hemp Tech Industrial Research Association, better known by its acronym MIRA, and he's here to clear the air over the growing of hemp. Johan, let's set the record straight. What is industrial hemp exactly?
Industrial hemp is totally a different plant. In the whole cannabis plants, there's three types of categories. There's cannabis sativa, cannabis indica, and cannabis ruderals. But under the cannabis sativa, there's two types of varieties. One is under the cannabis sativa, which falls under the drugs. Here we're talking about industrial hemp, which globally, it's supposed to be 0.3% lower on the THC levels.
Okay, and that's what makes it different in terms of whether it's classified as a drug or whether it's classified as a plant, perhaps?
Yes, because 0.3%, meaning it's the, especially countries like Australia and the Europeans, they're referring that as the industrial part, because there's no way you can plant these two different species together, because
okay,
it will affect both plants.
Do they look alike?
They don't look alike in terms of different areas, such as the leaves and the stalk, mm-hmm, because for example, if we're referring to industrial hemp, the stalk will have slightly bigger holes for, normally they use it for straws.
Right.
You know, but the marijuana plant is slightly smaller. But when you look at industrial hemp, you have, it's similar like lalang, you know, it's like weed. It's like just grow, there's non-stop.
So is industrial hemp like a sturdier plant than the other strain of cannabis?
Yeah, of course. Industrial hemp is a plant that has varieties of usage, mm-hmm, from the flower, from mm-hmm the leaves to the stalk. Just talk about the stalk. On the stalk, the outside of the stalk, you can, they normally use that for fibers, mm-hmm, really, meaning for clothes,
okay,
fabrics. But and inside part, there's this part called hearts, where used for buildings constructions. And the other part, right in the middle, it's actually used, it's called cellulose. It's used for papers making.
Okay, so I want to get into the kind of uses of industrial hemp a little bit later. But first, can you just clarify for me, is there any way at all it's possible that industrial hemp could be misused as a drug?
No, in research, normally they don't normally refer industrial hemp as drug at all, because there's no way having 0.3% and below will somehow have this psychoactive effect. So
right,
definitely industrial hemp is not similar to the other family plants. Like I said earlier, it's you can't even plant both types of varieties in the same area.
Right. Okay. So then is the growing of industrial hemp legal in Malaysia?
Not currently, but in the parliament, member of parliament has been talking about it. And now, I think up to now, they have specifically referred the hemp as a hemp plant. So it's not, no longer calling it as cannabis, because when they start talking about cannabis, then there is so much of taboo,
right,
among the people. Yes. So not at the moment, but of course the government is looking into it, since we have our neighboring countries, for example, Thailand is never banned hemp. That's part of the export industrial products to countries like Japan.
Okay. So in terms of Mira itself, right, when it comes to the actual research that you do on industrial hemp, how and where do you source the hemp from in order to be researched upon?
Okay. Since 2015, we've been traveling all over the globe, to the Europe, to India, mm-hmm. to China, to Thailand, to see the industrial use of it. So most of our products that we showcase or even do some testing mm-hmm. is coming from normally Southeast Asian Asia region. Why? Being having the same climate, you know, we're trying to compare because somehow the seeds is it has to go through some breedings.
Okay.
So those breedings will define different climate will have a different reaction because this industrial hemp, again, this particular plant is so easily grown once you've planted it.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so since the growing of hemp is, or industrial hemp is not yet legal here in Malaysia, could you let me know which other ministries or departments that are kind of supporting Mira in this?
Some of the ministries that actually have presented our industrial hemp, the MITI, Ministry of International Trade, mm-hmm. and also the Ministry of Health.
Okay.
And we have some of the local agencies. But in Malaysia, there's two ministry who actually take care of this plant is Ministry of Health, sorry, mm-hmm. and it's under the Ministry of, in Bahasa, it's called Kementerian Air Tenaga and Sumber Asli.
Yes, so it's natural resources.
Yes,
yep.
So yeah, that this is the two ministries is currently looking into the potential of this industrial hemp.
So just to go back to this and to reiterate, right? So if the growing of industrial hemp is illegal in Malaysia, that means there are no, at the moment, there are no regulations that govern the industry.
Yes, exactly. And that's why Mira here to prepare a proper documentations because we have been working with the international SDG or Sustainable Development Goals linking industrial hemp or cannabis in whole mm-hmm. to differentiate and possibly to advise the relevant departments in Malaysia to understand and see the difference with the plants because it's what happened in Malaysia right now, any plants that under cannabis mm-hmm. will fall under Schedule 1 drugs.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to get into the kind of uses for industrial hemp in a little bit, but we'll take a short break first. I'm speaking to Muhammad Johan, who's president and founder of the Malaysia Hemp Tech Industrial Research Association. You're listening to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. I'm speaking to Muhammad Johan, president and founder of the Malaysia Hemp Tech Industrial Research Association. We're talking about the uses for industrial hemp. So, Johan, what are some of the uses for industrial hemp?
Okay, firstly, industrial hemp are known as fiber, meaning they produce more fibers than other crops, mm-hmm. and fibers are used for building fabrics, mm-hmm. and of course the herds are used for construction building, and of course the cellulose are used for paper, mm-hmm. and there are there are countries now emerging into different research where the plant itself can actually phytoremediation, like, you know, it's rejuvenate the land. For example, if the land cause any toxic, so this it's the way forward. I mean, this plant is from the moment you plant it, it's like rejuvenate the plant, and once you have the plant, you can use each and every single of plant, including the roots as well.
So I have a particular interest in textiles and fabrics, and I was doing some research and I found out that hemp is actually one of the first fibers that was woven as fabric a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think the market now globally, it's more than 5% is into cotton, but unfortunately we have the old types of cotton now into synthetic cottons, mm. where fabric from hemp is more natural and it's no, it's all healthy. Like I went to a friend, when I visited a friend in Europe, most of his bed sheet, his shirt, he wanted to be on using hemp material because mm-hmm. it's when you whenever you travel into hot weather, it somehow absorbs quickly.
Also, contrary to popular belief, cotton is actually not very sustainable at all. It takes up a whole lot of water. So is hemp a sustainable crop?
Exactly, because hemp is, compared to cotton, you need more than 20 times amount of water mm. and it uses different types of pesticide where industrial hemp plant is very suitable for a country like Malaysia mm-hmm. or in these Asian country. Anyway, industrial hemp began in Asian countries such as right. India and China. So, mm. yes, and it doesn't rely on water much compared to cotton.
Are there any environmental concerns at all when it comes to growing industrial hemp?
One of the phytoremediation mm. where it... we take an example in Fukushima, Japan. Mm. They use this plant to actually rejuvenate the area where there's a lot of toxic. And after a certain cycle, it really brings the soil into a good, you know, it's cured.
So, rebalances the soil.
Yeah, so the... and on the environmental, since it's only took around 100 days to plant, so mm-hmm. of course, if we are talking about industrial again, compared to timber or any other plants, you need to wait for many, many years where you can have industrial hemp plants like four times per year.
So you can harvest industrial hemp within 100 days of planting it?
Yeah, certainly. 100 days is because industrial hemp took less time compared to another types of cannabis family plant mm. because this is a environmental friendly where you can use for the first crop for paper and second crop for fiber. So you can actually use, and this is so important right now with the situation in the globally right now with the economy. I think we need something which is not expensive, mm-hmm. you know, something which is easily access when it comes to environmental or even the having all the eco-conscious publics right now.
Okay, so let's break it down into numbers then. How profitable a crop is it?
If you're talking about in terms of prices, we did a study on farmers, for mm-hmm. example. If a farmer is currently the one of the plant like rubber, you know, and palm oil, or even the canaf, one of the plant, compared to industrial hemp offers a farmer for an income from 400 to 700 ringgit per month, mm-hmm. which is the most highest income, and it also depends on what are the end products that they're going to produce. So if you're looking into the consumable products, because it's highly demand right now, mm-hmm. Then it'll be higher, you know, because we haven't actually touched into the hemp as a superfood.
Oh, wait. Okay, so before we get into superfoods, do you have a rough idea of the market value of industrial hemp-derived products?
Looking into, of course, we have an example in countries like the US.
Yes.
The US now, hemp is the number two highest economic value for the country. Mm-hmm. I don't have a specific data for it, but okay. It's one of the highest income crop for the country, such as Australia, in America and, of course, Canada. Yeah.
So you mentioned something about hemp being a superfood. Perhaps you can explain a little bit more about that.
Okay. Under the, when you're talking about the seeds, the seeds of industrial hemp doesn't contain any psychoactive effects at all. So the seeds is actually you can produce milk from the seeds, and among other seeds, compared to chia seeds and other good seeds available, under the research, these hemp seeds falls under the most healthiest superfood because it contains fatty acids, omega 6, and from just the seeds alone. Mm. So now, since January this year, in Australia, they are now starting to consume hemp milk as their daily drink, which even they use to produce pasta, cheese, and many other products besides oil for their food or supplement.
So are there any hemp-derived products already available in market in Malaysia that are being imported in, for example?
Yes. In Malaysia, there is no clear information where, even though it's not legal to plant, but it's available in groceries, in online. I think you can find the hemp seeds, especially the hemp milk and even the superfood in normal groceries, but it's under the higher classified as the normally you can find it in
a more premium product.
Premium product, yes.
Right.
So yes, you can find the products, even soap, even you know, all those cream and hemp products available in Malaysia.
So at the moment, there are no regulations about the importing of hemp products?
No, except one particular CBD. I think there is an issue of that, even though it's not a psychoactive oil. That CBD, what I understand, that you need to inform the Ministry of Health in case you want to import that particular CBD product.
Because hemp, industrial hemp or the growing of hemp is illegal in Malaysia, there is none being grown here, not even for research purposes, correct?
Yeah.
In your experience dealing with government ministries, what are some of the concerns that they have raised about the growing of industrial hemp in Malaysia?
You see, with the lack of knowledge and not even to try it, I think everyone, I can say, they're a little bit confused with the whole cannabis plant because there's no even proven record. There's no even any reference for the government to look into. I think what the government is looking now, comparing other countries when they actually help the economy, like I have here the rise of the hemp industry in America when it's just starting in 2016, hemp as a whole was a 400 million industry. And overall, predicts a 700% increase in sales of CBD products alone. And both those derived from hemp and all the cannabis plant is from 2016 to 2020 is expected to climb to 2.1 billion. This is according to Forbes report.
So what is Mira then doing to be able to help the government kind of clarify the use of industrial hemp or really the kind of the benefit this cash crop could have to the country?
Right. With the network that we have developed with the International Cannabis Coalition and International Hemp Network, we are trying to help the government to develop a blueprint, a proper documentation to identify, and what we're looking at to make sure if this will be the crop for the country, it has to be SDG compliance. You know, it's not just a business, but MIRA is looking into a research. Currently, we have a few universities which are interested to do a research only on fibers. And what we are interested is to develop a proper documentation. I think that is what one thing lacking in these countries. Therefore, we hope through the industrial hemp, MIRA will lead into providing a proper documentation on the whole process of the industrial hemp.
So I also read an article saying that hemp in Malaysia could be a good alternative to palm oil-based products. But, you know, does this make sense, seeing how entrenched oil palm plantations are?
Yes, I see this is a new, when we have a lot of communities who are very eco-conscious. So I think somehow this is important, because if we are looking into oil, and hemp is the oil that you only don't need to go through a very long process,
right.
You know. So of course, when you have something which only can produce in 100 days, and then you can have plants that actually can produce four times a year. So overall, we're not just looking of this industrial hemp as a new crop, but it's helping the farmers to increase and create demand in this region. So yes, it's important for the government to look into, you know, taking hemp as one of the new crop, because we are facing with the new generation that are very eco-conscious right now.
Okay. So you also very recently had a closed-off forum, MIRA and some stakeholders who were interested in learning a little bit more about industrial hemp. Could you let me know how the forum went? What were some of the more popular questions asked?
Right. The forum titled Insights into Industrial Hemp. This forum is meant for our new members, because we do have requests almost every day that the public's coming from engineers, we have doctors, we have even those people who are in the business that actually wanted to get involved with this. So MIRA, with the collaboration with a World Startup Festival, Mereka, and the International Islamic University, we host this forum. There's about 80 participants in the forum, and we have our EXCO members who are doing his master's studies into a thesis titled The Policy for Japan and Malaysia. So we're doing a comparison on how actually Malaysia can refer Japan. So overall, these forum has opened up new, you know, areas for, because we have the Dean of Engineering attending research, and we have also government agencies, a director from the Lembaga Kenaf came. Actually, we want to highlight the position of MIRA and trying to differentiate the objective of MIRA, because overall, under MIRA, we don't look as industrial hemp as drug. So all other participants are engineers that actually wanted to have a new crop altogether. So we managed to gather the information, the sharing, and in fact, we have a lawyer that shared her experience when Captain Amiruddin, or Dr. Ganja, who was charged with almost 36, but after a few months, they noticed that actually that's not a cannabis marijuana. So that's how it opens up a lot of people, that actually there is still a confusion among the you know, our law, they actually don't get the real picture what is the industry of hemp all about.
Okay. So on that note, what do you think it will take to reduce the stigma of growing industrial hemp and really normalizing it like any other cash crop?
Yeah. That's why in MIRA, we want to help the government to indicate and prepare proper documentation. At the same time, we are almost ready to conduct training and give a proper information about this. So therefore, we are preparing for a next open forum next year in June, which plan in Kota Kinabalu. This is in conjunction with the Asia the APEC 2020.
Right.
So we'll be hosting the Asian Pacific Industrial Hemp Summit, where we call 22 countries from all over the Asia Pacific, from representative from the university, to share their findings. So we hope this is a platform for all the universities and the policymakers to come upon, rather than sending each and everyone to overseas. I think this is a platform for the Malaysian government to open up more understanding, and hopefully, you know, we gather all the correct information based on the studies.
Okay, great. So between now and the next open forum, which is going to be about 7 months away, what does MIRA hope to achieve?
We are planning to meet the local state government in Sabah. And we have our members who are a lawyer in Sabah that will set up a meeting to meet the authority to gather correct information, the objective of this session. So we will be running information. Hopefully, we can call upon any industry's player that having some downfall into their crops. So we hope this will offer a more precise information, and then we also will be going to Penang and Johor to gather new members. And I'm sure when we have more members to be part of MIRA, they'll be able to be the correct messenger, you know, for Malaysia. And hopefully we will be able to help run a few training, like even present to a local government, like what we did almost every month. For information, we will call to present what actually industrial hemp to, right now is more than 10 government agency has actually called upon MIRA to share about the industrial hemp.
Okay, thank you for that, Johan. I hope that, you know, we get to speak again after next year, June, after the next open forum, and hopefully people's minds will be broadened and they'll be a little bit better educated about what industrial hemp is.
Yes, yes, yes. Certainly, because it's something important right now for Malaysia to look into industrial hemp as the new crop and the new economic values, and positioning the country to be the, you know, like the what Tun Mahathir, our Prime Minister, mentioned, to be the Asian tigers. I think industrial hemp is one of the way that we can actually be the pioneer into the economic values for the country.
And I wish you all the best of luck with that.
Thank you, Sumitra.
I've been speaking to Mohammad Johan, President and Founder of the Malaysia Hemp Tech Industrial Research Association, otherwise known as MIRA. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app or on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.